Welcome to Crossbody of Work. My name is Evan.
I am Javier.
This week, we continue our series on the Rated R Superstar. Yeah, we're talking about Edge.
Understand.
I like that because it sounds like Pavarotti doing Metalingus. I like this. This is very cool. It's a very cool crossover. So, we on this show take a wrestler and we look at their career through five of the most important matches. For certain people who are special, they get 15 matches over 3 weeks. Edge, of course, is a very special boy.
Yeah, for some reason.
It's because he's really good at the wrestling, at the grappling, at the all of these things. Last time we saw Edge, he was coming into his own as a single star. This week, it's all about Edge. As a singles competitor, we're looking at Money in the Bank. We're looking at becoming the Rated R Superstar. We're not looking at the live sex celebration. You can do that on your own time. Instead, we're looking at just Edge's career. Yeah, perverts. I still remember when that got, you know, when that dropped. And it was like, Edge is going to have a live sex celebration. And I'm 13 years old. And I was like, Edge is going to do what now?
I saw it live.
We do it live, literally.
Well, so I didn't know that it was happening. I don't like watch the previews of this stuff or anything. So I'm just watching Raw as I normally did every Monday. And suddenly, oh shit, he's about to have sex. I'm like,
on the TV.
These cooties? No?
No cooties. If you're not already, you should be subscribed to us on YouTube. We're rapidly approaching 100 subscribers. Go join us there. We have lots of bonus content. If you like the episodes of the podcast, you'll love all of our other bonus content. Lots of other Wrestler Revisited, where we go back and do extra matches on people we've already covered. We have mini-sodes where we break down just one match intensively. We have our drafts, and we have Take a Card, Make a Card. We'll be coming up with some new content, sure, soon. If you have ideas for things you want to see on YouTube, hit us up there, at Crossbody of Work. If you're watching on YouTube right now, one, how many fingers am I holding up? Good. And two, hit the thumbs up. Hit subscribe. We're happy you're here. All right. We can dive right into Edge because we did all the intro stuff last week. So Edge was drafted to SmackDown during the first draft lottery, which was very cool. He was part of the SmackDown 6. Rapid fire. Who were the SmackDown 6, Javier?
Guerreros.
Yes.
Edge, Rey, Kurt Angle, and Dickhead.
Correct. And for those who don't know, Dickhead is what we call Chris Benoit. He also gained Never Gonna Stop as his entrance theme at this time. I don't think it's as good as his other themes. Never gonna stop. Yeah, that one.
I was not paying attention. No.
Oh, he in our matches, he I think has it once, and that's it. I think it's just our first match. And our first match is the inaugural tournament finals for the WWE Tag Team Championships. It is No Mercy 2002. It is Edge and Rey Mysterio, a tag team I actually adored growing up, versus Kurt Angle and Dickhead.
They had a weird chemistry to them where it was like, I don't know how to explain it.
You know what it is? I think I have it. Do you ever see two people who were good friends growing up and they reconnect and they're still friends, but it's not the same? It's that kind, like they had, like they were friendly. They had the vibe, but they weren't, you know, like a team, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like they were boys, but they weren't like a tag team. Because also, Edge is meant to be with Christian. Christian comes in the same box as Edge.
Rey comes in another box. You know what it is? It's when James Harden and Russell Westbrook teamed up again in Houston.
Like, they're friends. Not right? Yeah.
They're both good players, but something's not right here.
I hate the Harden trade for the Clippers. I hate it. I hate it.
I think everyone does, except for Steve Ballmer.
Oh, Steve Ballmer just loves it. Look at all these people I have. So, of course, this was a tournament, and I did not remember that one of the teams that Edge and Mysterio beat to make it to the finals was the team of Brock Lesnar and Tajiri. Yes, Brock Lesnar and Tajiri were tag team partners for this tournament.
What year was this?
2002. They also beat D-Von and Ron Simmons, who I did remember were a tag team. Dickhead and Angle beat Cena and Kidman. This is when they didn't know what to do with Cena because it's before he started rapping. And they beat Los Guerreros. So a variety of like established teams and also Tajiri and Brock Lesnar. What's that car
Put
ride
the
like?
Young guys over. Probably funny as fuck, to be honest.
I hope Paul Brock Heyman's there too.
I feel like Brock is a great hang. Like if Brock Lesnar likes you, He's probably like the funniest fucking dude in the
Absolutely.
World. Like, just like unintentionally too. Like, he'll just say some shit and it's just unintentionally the funniest thing you've ever heard.
Agreed. And those people are fantastic to be around. All right. The side plot for this match is that Angle and Dickhead do not like each other. Not even a little bit. And Los Guerreros get involved and they like jump Dickhead. Like, it's a lot. There's a lot happening here in terms of the fact that they can't fight each other or else they'll be suspended without pay for a year. Meanwhile, Edge and Rey Mysterio are just babyfaces trying to babyface. They're just happy to be here. They're just thrilled. What'd you think of the match?
I thought it was a really good match.
This is the Wrestling Observer Newsletter Match of the Year for 2002.
Wow.
Because honestly, the in-ring stuff, this is my in-ring recommendation of the week. If you like work rate, this is your match.
It's not my recommendation for the week.
I know what match is going to be your recommendation.
No, it's not, actually.
Oh, okay. I love the intrigue. No, it's a this different one.
It's just, don't get me wrong, this is a great match. Like, I agree. I think work rate-wise, this is the best match of the bunch.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's the best match, because I think that our last wrestling match is better.
Okay, fair. I also think 2002 was an interesting time for wrestling in the dub. They were in their first little spot of being the only show in town, really. And so sometimes the work rate
booked yet.
Yeah, sometimes the work rate was really good. Especially like these four, obviously extremely talented in-ring guys. Edge is the worst in-ring guy here, and Edge is really good.
Yeah, like that's you're comparing him to Kurt Angle, who is arguably the best. Like, he's in the argument. That's what I mean when I say arguably.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's my pick, so.
You've got Dickhead, who has been excommunicado'd in all the way. We're not even going to discuss him.
No.
But, come on. And then we've got Rey, who I prefer Rey Mysterio to Edge, personally, but I can understand if you would not.
Rey, potentially the greatest luchador of all time, potentially the greatest masked superstar of all time.
I think he absolutely is. Yeah. I'm also not a civilian in Mexico, so I couldn't tell you what they think about like Santos or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, that's true. We don't have all of the knowledge. It's like when people are like, who's the best basketball player of all time? And someone goes, Bill Russell. And you're like, all right, grandpa.
Cool. You're 15.
I mean, I will say that Bill Russell is in my like top three. So
I mean, look, I literally live. I'm from Boston, and I don't even have him in my top three.
So. Well, that's because you're wrong. All right. To go through this one beat by beat would be a lot because there's a lot of just technical wizardry and things that
happen.
It's
a slow start, and then it just picks up. And when it picks up, it picks up.
So let's focus instead on Edge's work in the match. What were some of the things that Edge did in this match that you really liked?
Edge tags in and he gets a decent pop.
Remember Edge being this popular in 2002.
I don't remember Edge ever being popular. Edge.
For those of you who missed episode one and maybe aren't familiar with our podcast that much, Javier fucking hates Edge.
Yes, very much.
Because of everything he did to John Cena, who is, I think Javier has a shrine of him somewhere in the background.
It's hidden. It's in my closet.
You like have to pop. You press a button, it like turns around.
I press a button and the wall opens up.
Do 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 do. That would be outstanding.
And then it actually just does this. It doesn't even open up. It does this, and then when it closes, sometimes I just press the button repeatedly, and you just.
I like that.
Anyway, so yeah, he does. He gets a decent pop. Does an arm drag and drop kick. He is the definition of like white meat babyface moves early on. Like, I can't even describe babyface Edge in the early 2000s. Like, he is a very sound wrestler. He could do all the technical stuff. He is an incredible dance partner to have. If you want to have a decent to great match, but like. I don't know why, but the only person that has been coming to my mind the last couple of weeks whenever I think about like Edge and his like move sets and stuff like that is like Trent Beretta. Like, Trent Beretta is a really good wrestler.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I think that's a good shout.
And it's like, not that Trent Beretta is anywhere near the ballpark of Edge.
No.
But Trent Beretta is really, really good. Not in the last, like, I think his AEW run has kind of skewed it because he's older and hurt and not as talented.
If this
as
is the only, if this is the only Trent you know is in AEW, like, it's a different Trent.
Like, Trent back in like 2015, 16, when him and when he was in Roppongi Vice and stuff, like, Trent was fucking good.
The only thing, as you were talking about, like, Edge's moveset, I don't know why, the only thing that keeps coming to my mind is, like, his moveset in this era is aggressively Canadian. Like, what I mean, like, he's not, like, hitting people with hockey sticks or anything. But, like, I have the fundamentals down. It's like he was trained by Stu Hart. Like, I have the fundamentals down. I am very good at all of these very fundamental baseline moves. I also have a couple of very cool moves that I'm the one who does, and that's nice. But, like, arm drag, hip toss, drop kick, all of them are good to excellent.
Flapjack, like, for a near fall.
He loves a flapjack. My man is eating,
air quotes, spears Kurt Angle off the apron. It's just a shoulder tackle.
It's a shoulder tackle. But anything Edge does that's a shoulder tackle is technically a spear.
Dick also starts working him over.
Yeah, we get the trio of German suplexes. Then eventually we get the hot tag to Mysterio. I fucking love Ray hot tags.
Yeah. He's so fucking fast, too. He's so fast.
And this is even, like, post-knee injury. Like, he's not even as fast. I think he's already had one minor, not a surgery, but a minor knee injury in WCW. I don't know. Don't remember for sure. I can't wait till we do a Ray three-parter, by the way.
Oh, my God. Trying to fire Ray Mysterio matches pre-WCW when he's, like, real fast as fuck boy is going to be so fun.
We cannot watch those on anything other than, like, one speed. Because we will not be able to see him. Lots of great stuff. Edge gets tossed off the top rope by Angle at one point. Some really good moves here. Angle's on his shit. He does, like, an overhead belly to belly and just launches Ray at one point.
Just launches the fuck out of him.
We do get the hot tag to Edge as well. Tell me about Edge's hot tag.
It's fine. It's just like a regular, like, baby face on fire hot tag.
Clotheslines, back body drop, face plant. He does hit the Edge-O-Matic, which is cool. I like that he adds that in. It's a little setup, yeah. They also say he does a corner spear. It's a shoulder block.
It's a shoulder block. It's a shoulder tackle into the corner. Ray follows it up with the Bronco Buster. And then we get a really cool move here. So Angle, I believe it is on the top rope. And Edge just launches Ray backwards up into a Frankensteiner, like a top rope Frankensteiner.
You got to think part of the appeal for these guys when they work with Ray is, like, hey, what's some weird shit we can do? Because, like, normally we can't do this, but when we have Ray, we can throw him places. We can, like, he can hit weird moves off the top rope. Like, hey, you got any creative things you haven't tried yet, Ray, that you want to do? And he's like, oh, yeah, sure.
I like to think that's why they, like, your head. I like to think that's why they just let Ricochet have a Brock Lesnar match. They just wanted to see what Brock could do to him.
I just wanted to see what would happen.
And honestly, it was kind of fun.
It was kind of cool.
Just kind of throw him around.
So let's dive into the finish here. So Dickhead locks in a crossface. Edge manages to get to the ropes because he's the one who's locked in. Ray 619 to Dickhead when he doesn't let go. Angle slam to Ray. Edge counters an ankle lock into a roll up for a two. Hits a spear. Dickhead makes the save by pulling Edge out. Edge catapults Ray onto Dickhead and he moonsaults onto him at ringside. It's a lot.
It's very, all right, the catapult wasn't, like, as descriptive as it should have been. He, like, reverse power bombs him.
Yeah.
Like, he puts him in a power bomb position and throws him backwards. Edge is not a strong man. He's just not.
Comparatively not to the rest of his field.
All right. Like, compared to me, he probably isn't even that much stronger. I'm just going to put that out there right now.
You trying to have a lift off?
Yes, if we could bring back 2002 Edge, right now Edge, he's a father. He's got grown
he's got
man.
He's
got
dad's
grown
strength.
Man and dad strength. I ain't doing nothing against him. 2002 Adam Copeland? Call me.
That's just Adam. That's just Adam. Now it's
dad light work.
He's got that dadum going on.
Anyways, Ray does somehow manages to contort his body midair and hits a moonsault, which was great. Edge or Kurt counters an execution into an ankle lock. Edge slips out and puts an ankle lock himself on. Kurt slips out of that and then puts it back on. He locks it the fuck in. Edge is eventually forced to tap out. Dickhead and Kurt are the first ever WWE tag team champions.
It's really fun to see Edge's face when he locks in his own ankle lock. He's so pleased with himself. He locks it in. He's like, yeah. And then immediately gets reversed. Because obviously Kurt has seen this get reversed 1,000 times. So he knows exactly how to do it.
Yeah.
You think Kurt would, you think Kurt would grapevine every time with how many times people roll out?
Wrestling Sometimes is, you just get cocky, man.
Wrestling is not for the logical people. All right. Edge suffered a legitimate neck injury at some point here. The injury stemmed from a bump he took on a closed ladder on the September 26, 2002 edition of SmackDown while wrestling Eddie. There was a frog splash while he was still laying on the ladder, and then his arms would be numb more and more in the following months, so he decided to get surgery because he was gradually more pained and not want to risk dropping an opponent because of his numb arms. Like, he would be lifting people up and would feel the numbness coming in, so not great. At No Way Out in 2003, he was written off of TV through a backstage attack, underwent a surgery, and was sidelined for over a year. When he came back, he'd been drafted to the Raw brand in the 04 draft. He speared Eric Bischoff and then returned to in-ring action shortly after. We're going to skip ahead, though, to when he becomes Mr. Money in the Bank. At WrestleMania 21, Edge won the first ever Money in the Bank ladder match. And originally, he didn't like the idea of the ladder match and didn't want to be in it. He said even that he would not be, he'd rather not be on the WrestleMania card himself, but was talked into it by two people. Who do you think talked Edge into being in the Money in the Bank ladder match?
Chris Jericho.
That's one.
And Christian?
No, Kane. Said that it was Kane and Jericho who convinced Edge to be in the match, win a contract. And of course, okay, the initial thought was, hey, what's he going to do with this contract? Like, you're going to set up a match at any point. Essentially, it was like a number one contendership that never goes away. But then they came up with the idea of cashing in after a match, like when somebody's at their most vulnerable. And that's what really, I think, catapulted Edge into another level of main event star. Because at New Year's Revolution 2006, Edge cashes in after John Cena has gotten his ass kicked.
Yes, he is bleeding. He is in peril. It is not good. He just survived an Elimination Chamber match where he is just, he's left for dead, honestly.
He's the first entrant in that match. Yes. Can you name the five people he fought against?
2005, Shelton Benjamin?
Nope.
Carlito?
Yes.
Chris Masters?
Yes.
Oh God, who else was in that? Was Orton in it?
No. You got one more strike and then I'll give you the rest.
So I've got Carlito, Masters.
Yeah.
Bobby Lashley?
No. Shawn Michaels.
Yep.
Kane and Kurt. Yeah. But yeah, John Cena is a bloody mess to the point where the clip, because we are watching the cash in by Edge, is in black and white. Other important things to know about Edge at this point, he is paired with Lita after feuding with Kane, and Matt Hardy has been released and come back to maybe actually shoot, kick the shit out of Adam Copeland in that interim time, because that feud is maybe one of the greatest work shoot things that wrestling's ever seen.
Yeah, I would have thrown in that match or something, but I just felt like there were more important ones that needed to be added.
There are a lot of things to cover in the career of Edge. Honestly, we'll probably get to it when we cover Matt Hardy, because it's also the most... Matt Hardy's had two most interesting peaks, that and being broken.
I think that was the best, the peak of him in WWE.
Yes, because the peak of him
as a singles guy. Sorry, as a singles guy.
Well, yes, of course. So let's look at New Year's Revolution 2006. I love the idea of coming up with the cash in. Like, somebody's down, they're out. Now is when I do. Like, it changed the
entire...
I like
this one because Vince comes out and is just
and announces
like,
it.
Yeah, this individual is cashing in his Money in the Bank privileges that he earned at WrestleMania.
Edge!
I just remember it like... So I didn't watch the pay-per-view live, obviously. We were poor. We could not afford to
buy... You think I got 50 bones just
random,
hanging around?
Could not afford to buy these random pay-per-views.
You get WrestleMania, you get SummerSlam, you get a Rumble.
So, like, it was just the Raw after WrestleMania, after the pay-per-view, you know, you get the... They do it after every pay-per-view. You do, like, the little highlight reel of what went on the night before at the pay-per-view. And I remember it getting to this point and I was like, okay, let's go, Cena won. And then they got to this point and I'm like, huh?
Huh? It was not a good time for young Javier.
Cena can't stand up. He can't even stand up. I remember this taking forever of him just like stumbling around and not getting up. And then so he finally does. Edge immediately spears him. Immediately spears him. One, two, Cena kicks out.
So I don't think I watched this pay-per-view live. I think we had skipped it because the Rumble was also right in, like in January. So we were like, we're getting one. We're not getting both. I could not believe in the recap that John had kicked out of a spear after everything else in the Elimination Chamber. Of course, John needs to look strong. This is not Super Cena yet, but he's like, it's truly happening. Like, it's starting now.
Well, he's on his like Giga run.
Yeah.
Like he's in his like, he's taken down so many people. Like Triple H is on the horizon.
This is like this run for Cena is what the most recent Bianca Belair run was. The like unstoppable, like,
yes.
If Bianca's career goes the same way as John, it would look the same. Like, this is that run, the one we just saw from Bianca. That's what John was on here.
Yeah. I mean, it's not his Giga run because his Giga run is the next one. That's the one after he gets the title back. He puts Edge down and then he goes until he tears his pack. But
only a broken titty can hold me down.
But no, this is crazy. I mean, Edge freaks out. The facial expressions from here. Ed, nobody really plays up the like, what the fuck?
Yeah, the like aspect the true, of it. True being absolutely baffled like Edge.
By a near fall like Edge does. Yeah. Like, I will say that. I think he's number one on the list of like, this person kicked out.
What? Now... He does another spear. He obviously becomes WWE champion for the first time in a very monumental moment. Following night, that's the live sex celebration where he said he was going to celebrate his victory by, quote, having hot, unbridled sex, unquote, in the middle of the ring. Do you remember who interrupts the live sex celebration?
Well, Cena eventually comes out.
Nope.
But not, it's Ric not Flair, right?
It is Ric Flair who interrupts it. By saying the Edge is a disgrace and, quote, horrible in the sack. Because then he feuds with Ric Flair. At the Royal Rumble later that month, Edge would lose the WWE Championship back to John Cena.
Yeah.
Ending his first run, but of course not his last run.
Yeah.
We are going to take
not
a break.
Not feud either.
No, we're going to take a break, though. When we get back, Edge is getting hardcore. Back from the break, WrestleMania 22. Edge versus Mick Foley in a hardcore match. This match rules.
Yeah, this is, I will always say, and I've heard it echoed by many wrestling fans and podcasters and YouTubers in the past. This is really Edge's Royal Rumble 2000 moment that Triple H had.
Yeah.
Like this is the moment where he was kind of cemented as, okay, he's a main event player.
I do find it interesting that Mick has three distinct hardcore matches where he made absolute stars. He's like, obviously Triple H was a big name already, but those performances at the Royal Rumble 2000 and at No Way Out 2000 really made Triple H. This helps make Edge. And then of course he does it again with Randy Orton. Like, it's wild that Foley has done it three times with three of the most important people in WWE's history.
Yeah, and then he went to TNA.
And then he went to TNA, which we covered on our Sting Revisit, our Sting Revisited. You should watch it here on YouTube. Also, when you said YouTubers, I just realized, are we YouTubers now? Is that like a thing?
No, we're podcasters. We're podcasters.
We just happen to have a YouTube channel?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I was like a... No, there's nothing wrong with being a YouTuber, but I've never considered myself a YouTuber.
It's so like, I think you are what came first.
Okay, you know? So I'm short. All right. this match is great. It starts with Edge coming out with a baseball bat and Lita. Foley's here in like the thickest fucking flannels you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah, it's so weird because it's like it's not the black and red one. So I'm like, what is this? What are we doing here?
Yeah. So he avoids some baseball bat swings from Edge, hits a facebuster to him, puts Edge in a tree of woe immediately. Which
hits an elbow drop.
I always associate as a move that you need to be a little tired to be put like just do a crunch. You just got up there. You know what I mean? Like,
listen, man. Can you do a crunch?
I mean, I don't have to. Nobody's putting me in trees of woe. And don't get any ideas when we're at WrestleMania. People just find me outside the arena, just red in the face. I've been trying. I've been trying for 3 hours. I only missed the pre-show. Edge with a big boot and an elbow. Lita feeds Edge a cookie sheet. And Mr. Christie, you get 2 headshots, Mr. Foley.
Oh, Jesus. He baseball slides the sheet into Foley's face. And then he hits a spear on Foley and immediately crumbles down in a heap of pain.
And obviously, like, we've seen this match, so we know what the spot is. When I watched this live, I did not have the frame of reference of knowing the Bret Hart, the fridge door or the whatever that he put under his shirt when he speared him. So I was like, why is Edge hurt? And then you realize that Foley has wrapped himself in barbed wire to avoid getting speared. That's why he
just
has a
an
double
all-time move. Just like an all-time move.
That's an all-time, like, if I'm going down, I'm taking you with me style move. Like, you can't wrap yourself in barbed. Like, it's going to hurt me, but it's going to fucking hurt you too.
Yeah, but like, I'm used to it though.
Yeah.
You see Edge, like, he cut himself right where the impact is.
Yeah.
And I have to say, so when the camera pans to Edge, when he's like rolling, he's like up against the rope and you see him like turned away. So you can't fully see his side. And Lita's there. And honestly, what I think happened, I think Lita might have just pricked him, or maybe he handed him the blade and he pricked himself to get a little trickle of blood there.
It's definitely what happened.
I'm just saying. I don't know. Maybe I've seen this match so many times.
Had you never noticed that?
I think this. Yeah, no. This is the first time where I saw that air, that like specific shot. And I was like, you know, I think he bladed.
I also think he bladed
his shoulder.
I think he did too. It's like when you learn the real things about Christmas, and you're like, "Oh no, really? I didn't
notice." Santa's not real.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. Santa's very real. Actually, there should be no children listening to this. We swear too much. We talk about some weird shit. You should know. No children should be listening to this,
especially no children of the Santa believing age.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like,
if you want your like 8-year-old to like listen to this pod, you know what? That's on you. It's your parenting.
You knew what the risks were.
If you're letting your like 4-year-old listen to this, what are we doing here? We need to discuss.
That's true.
Send us an email. I will happily discuss this with you.
crossbodyworkpod@gmail.com. Nobody makes Edge bleed his own blood except for Foley, who uses a barbed wire on Edge's arm and gets Edge stuck in the ropes.
Yeah.
Foley brings out Barbie, who he had stuck under the, like, you know how the ring steps are in 2 different sections? Under the top section, he snuck Barbie, which is, of course,
genius.
His barbed wire wrapped baseball bat. Because that's what a Barbie is, and he's just Ken. I am on fire today. I don't like to toot my own horn. I'm on fire today. I just want you to know. It's like when somebody's hot in the first quarter, and you're like, okay, I'm going to watch this game because, you know, he might drop
60. It's like what Anthony Edwards did to us in overtime.
You're correct. It's exactly like what he did to the Celtics in overtime.
It's like, God damn it. You know what? I'm calling a timeout. Let's take a break.
Lita jumps on Foley's back, and Foley does the cactus clothesline with Lita on his back and takes everyone to the outside. Which, I didn't notice how big Lita's bump was here.
Yeah, she like got whipped down to the ground.
Directly on her tailbone. Like, it's not
which
even
is
like
the worst.
It is. It's not even like she was fully seated. It was like she was like in a V formation and landed directly on her tailbone.
Oh God. So it's open too. There's no like protection.
No. No protection. Tough times.
Jesus. It's not like she's like a very, you know. Like if that had happened to like Megan Thee Stallion, I'm sure she would have been fine. You know what I mean?
For some reason my first thought was like Rikishi can take that bump.
Rikishi can take that bump all
he's
day. Good. But her, you know, Chris Evans would love that bump. But
it's America's
bump. It's tough for Lita.
Now,
catch my drift.
The worst bump on the outside of the, for this whole match, except until the ending, is Edge hip-tossing Foley into the steel steps. It looks miserable. I don't know how Mick didn't break his spine.
I can't even agree with that one. I can't agree with that one because the spot that follows it. So Edge sets up a table ringside. And then Foley, he puts Foley on it. He goes up to the top. Foley slides off. Edge comes down and he's like pissed about it. So he just grabs Foley by the back of the head, by the hair, and just whips him back onto the ramp. And Evan, the thud. Foley's head hit that ramp. There was no protecting.
It's true.
He hit that shit.
Yeah, it's a lot. Foley with a pile driver. Oh, so also, Edge sets up a table. He has some lighter fluid. He douses Foley with the lighter fluid, but can't light him on fire, which commentary debates as a true strategy. And this reminds me of the why hasn't anyone started an ODQ match with a gun take I had a couple of weeks ago. Just if there's no disqualifications, that also means, I guess, crime is legal.
No, that's not true. Mm, see,
we have misinterpreted the rules.
Things are sanctioned. Within WWE are not laws of the state.
I guess that's fair. I guess
maybe
you know,
if it
what,
was you... Florida, then you could maybe in your stand your ground type law. Maybe, you know, it's like, oh, he's coming to attack me with a fucking chair. Bang.
You saw him. He had a cookie sheet. Who knows what he's going to do with that?
So you shot him? Well, what else would you have expected
me supposed
to do?
Foley with a pile driver. He wants concerto, but Lita makes the save. Edge then DDTs Foley on a cookie sheet for a two count. Foley gets Barbie to the face. Edge is using it as a weapon, runs it across his forehead. Foley super bloody. Edge is not as bloody as Foley, but still bloody himself.
Bulldog onto Barbie for a near fall.
Then the thumbtacks come out. Edge gets the thumbtacks out, and Foley back suplexes Edge and himself onto the thumbtacks.
I pray for Mick Foley's head. Like, the back of his head was in shambles this match.
That's true. It's just a lot of bad things.
This man retired 5 years before this match, by the way. Like, I just want to point that out. Like, he retired.
Yeah, bad at retirement. Foley does a barbed wire socko to Edge, and then also to Lita, who then spits up blood.
Yeah, which... pretty sure it was just a blood pack.
But, you know, it was a good visual. Then we kind of get to the finish. Let's start to break it down.
Foley starts rocking Edge with Barbie. He dumps lighter fluid all over the table. Lita then hits him with Barbie. Lights
she
the table on
him. Kneecaps him with Barbie.
Which is arguably worse. Then lights the table on fire. Edge comes through with a spear. Spears Foley, who's on the apron, through the ropes, through the burning table. You just hear both of them yelling in, like, shoot pain.
Well, I mean, they did collapse through fire, so I'll give them that.
Shoot pain. Edge crawls over. 1, 2, 3. Unbelievable fucking scenes. Edge is officially, in my eyes, a main event, a legit main event level guy. I don't even know what more is to be said. This absolutely made Adam Copeland.
Edge suffered second degree burns from this, but I have a fun game for you. I would like you to rank the three spots based on which one you would prefer to take. The flaming table spot, the thumbtack spot, or any sort of barbed wire spot.
Okay, so like, would number one be the one I would most like to take?
You would most like to take that spot.
Okay. Honestly, number one is probably the barbed wire.
Okay.
Number two is probably the table. My thing is heat. My body was not meant for heat in any capacity.
Your number three is the thumbtacks?
No, because here's the thing, right? I have to pick those out later.
I mean, you could get a friend. I'd pick thumbtacks out of you.
Yeah, but then I gotta sit down and have you pick out 30 plus painful ass thumbtacks out of my back ass, like leg. What if they're in my inner thighs and you're a little too close to a sensitive area?
Well, the thing is, you can reach those. Yeah, I believe in you. So
yeah, but like, you understand, right? I got to think about the long game here. The barbed wire, I feel like, is an easy number one in that situation, though, because it's just kind of like an immediate pain in them. It's done.
So my number one is also the barbed wire.
The burn, it's like, they're going to hit me with some fire extinguisher right away. As long as I have a shirt on, I'm probably like chilling. No, maybe it's like a first degree. What
you have to take it like edge, no shirt.
I'm just going to make sure the fat dude is like I just I'm just going to like position, I'm spearing Foley in a way where I'm making sure he gets the brunt and then oh. I'm not rolling onto the side or anything. I'm coming straight back.
Yeah. I'm still probably thinking thumbtack spot first. I think that
you're out of your fucking mind.
Maybe I am.
Thing is, it's gonna hurt the entire time until they're out of your body.
Yeah, I just don't want to be lit on fire.
Lit on fire, though.
You can't really do a spot in fire without at least like fire should not be that close to my body. All right, I don't need that. I don't tan well. I don't need this. Like, it's a lot for me. All right. I forgot that after this feud, Edge and Foley team up.
I'm sorry. You said fucking what now?
You didn't remember? I didn't remember this either. Like, afterwards, they kind of team up. I'm trying to remember the exact. So they kind of feuded for a while, and Foley betrayed Tommy Dreamer. With Edge's assistance, and then they proclaimed that because of the match at WrestleMania, they were the hardcore champions, essentially. And then at ECW One Night Stand, Edge, Foley, and Lita defeated Dreamer, Terry Funk, and Beulah McGillicuddy in an Extreme Rules tag match. I didn't remember that at all.
The fuck?
I have to rewatch ECW One Night Stand now. Later in the event, Edge interfered in the WWE Championship match between John Cena and Rob Van Dam, helping RVD win after Edge speared Cena through a table. On the July 3rd episode of Raw, Edge pinned RVD in a triple threat match after blindsiding Cena with the belt to become WWE Champion for the second time. RVD could not be champion because RVD was caught with drugs. But, like, just pot.
It's weed, though. It's weed. So,
let's look at a match between John Cena and Edge. Let's talk about one of the most important rivalries of the 2000s in the WWE. And let's go to Unforgiven 2006, John Cena versus Edge for the WWE Championship in a TLC match. We are in Toronto, so it's time for some good Canadian content. It has a really good hype video in the link that we have. Of course, all of our links, fullpresswrestling.com. You can go check them out there. This is the feud that brought out the rated R spinner belt. Thoughts?
Terrible. Worst belt in the history of humankind. Boo, boo, tomatoes, tomatoes. Light it on fire. Could douse it in fire extinguisher and then light it on fire again. And then when the ashes are all over the spread around the ground, salt that bitch.
So I have a question for you. Is it just because it's Edge?
Yes.
Okay. Just double checking. Just double checking.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on the spinner belt, the original spinner belt? For those who don't know,
the greatest title in the history of humankind. Legitimately, I don't mean this as a bit. It's the one wrestling memorabilia that I want more than anything is the replica spinner belt.
If we see a replica spinner belt at WrestleMania, will you buy it?
It depends on how much it is and the quality of it. Like, I want like a legit, like one of those like ones that are like $800 or whatever, but you know, really good.
And you frame, you get it framed and you put it on the wall.
Fuck framing that shit. I'm just going to set that bitch up.
Put it right here.
I'm just going to wear it. Every podcast, just going to wear that motherfucker.
Cena is heavily booed here in Canada. This is also
because they're racist is the thing here. That's what's wrong with you people.
I don't even know where to go from that. Cena's booed because he's in his Super Cena era and we're in Canada. Edge is the baby face in this match. He doesn't act like
don't
it
understand.
But he is
if
the baby
your
face.
Name is the rated R superstar,
yeah,
I just don't see how you can be a babyface.
Oh, he is here because everyone hated John Cena.
Also, Cena threw Edge in the Long Island Sound, and if that isn't, like, the ultimate comeuppance, I don't know what is. Because I just feel like if you go into the Long Island Sound, it's like in the Simpsons movie, if you try to, like, touch that freaking lake after Homer dumped all the shit in it, and then the freaking squirrel comes out with 1,000 eyes. I feel like that's what any... You touch that with your hand, and your hand comes back with more fingers.
I feel like it's one of the only places that when you go in and come out, you're different people. Like, it's like me pre Barbie movie and post Barbie movie. Like, I'm a different person. Like, same with
it's
the
like
Long Island.
You go
Sound.
In there looking the way that you do, and you come out looking like Ronnie from the Jersey Shore.
Honestly, that'd be great.
I don't think it would be.
I don't think it would be either. Again, another match with so many spots that to try to go through them would be exhausting. I do want to talk about Edge's work here in that weird tweener. Like, he obviously is playing to the crowd because he is. Yeah. Just extremely popular in Toronto, but he still sucks. Like, he's still at his he's still a heel throughout this match with a lot of his mannerisms, the way he's acting, the way he's even interacting with the crowd at point. He gets the babyface reaction and he kind of thrives on it for the first little bit and then remembers that his job is to just hate John Cena.
And, you know, he did a great job of being John Cena's biggest hater.
That's true.
He hits an execution. He hits an inverted DDT on two chairs that had been set up facing each other. Cena knocks a ladder over. Edge lands on his feet, clotheslines Cena. Edge throws a ladder in Cena's face.
I fucking love that spot.
Then drop kicks it into his face from the barricade.
I think what I've learned from doing this show is I love when wrestlers throw things at each other. It's something very simple. Like,
what is your favorite throw spot?
The like, Bray Wyatt stare spot. 100%.
Do you know what mine is?
Is it the... Oh, I have a close second. The Big Boss Man tries to throw the nightstick in during the Deadly Games tournament, and Rock catches it and uses it before we knew that Rock was heel, because truly Big Boss Man was throwing it to the Rock. Anyways, what's your favorite?
It's when Braun threw the announce chair at Roman Reigns.
I forgot about that one. That's really good. That's a good one.
Fucking wiped his ass out. That's up there for most uncomfortable spots. Because if you, like,
there's no
have
part
ever
of that
dealt...
to properly get hit with.
Yes, but it, like, it have you ever, like, accidentally, like, just clipped your ankle or something with the rolly part of the office chair? Just, like, you're moving and you got
it
a little too close. Yeah, like, that shit hurts.
Yes.
And then imagine just getting hit by it.
I think what it is when wrestlers throw things at other wrestlers, it to me is the way that I would interact. Like, if you drop me today in a hardcore match and I'd, like, defend myself against someone, I'm whipping anything I can find at them. Like, it's a horror movie.
It's like you and John Moxley in a match. What are you doing right away? First move.
Throwing whatever I have at him. Like, sliding out of the ring, finding something. I'm finding a child in the front row. I'm throwing it at John. He's a father. It'll throw him off his instincts. It'll be great. Just whatever I can do. There's a lot of things happening in this match.
They botch a sunset flip powerbomb through a table.
They do.
Cena didn't jump. And it's very clearly John Cena's fault. He does not jump in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
He didn't jump. It's as simple as that. He didn't jump.
Cena puts Edge within a ladder, slams on him, does an STFU through a ladder. Edge taps. And then I learned this from the Wikipedia. During that spot, when Edge is getting the STFU through the ladder, Edge legitimately is choked unconscious. Yeah. When John goes to pick him back up, if you rewatch it, Edge is out cold and wakes up as John is picking him up. And Edge said it is the first time he had ever actually been knocked out in ring.
Oh, my God.
Because the way they were doing it, like, in order for it to, like, look, because it's also one of the best STFUs John Cena has ever locked in.
Yeah.
But it's because Edge has such a finite amount of space, and to put John's arm in there too, he was legitimately being choked out.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So why does it look so real? Because Edge fucking passed out. Honestly, it's worth it to go back, because I learned that fact after I watched the match, and I went back and then I saw it. And shit. Yeah, when Edge gets picked up by John, like, he's peeling him off of the canvas. Jesus, so it's amazing that Edge knows what he's doing when he wakes up.
Cena FUs a ladder onto him.
It's so lame. It's so lame.
That was great. I loved it. I would do the same thing.
Cena does hit a super five knuckle shuffle, which honestly, that is worth some points too.
Edge blasts him with a chair.
Yes. It's alarming.
Absolutely blasts him. Cena starts climbing the ladder. Edge spears him from one off of one ladder onto the ladder that Cena's coming or trying to climb up off of.
Yeah.
Cena does a release power bomb onto Edge into a ladder that's set up, and I kind of feared for Edge a little bit there.
That's good. Edge had gone for a crossbody. Cena caught him and then released power bombed him into a ladder. Cena up on the top of the ladder. Lita comes in, dumps Cena to the outside through a table. Edge on top of a ladder. Lita hits Cena with a chair shot, and he then like Rube Goldberg's and falls into the ladder, and Edge falls through tables at ringside. Not a good time. Cena then hits an FU on Lita because it's 2006, and so that's still a thing that happens. It's weird.
Cena starts climbing.
There's that long break where none of that happens anymore. And then like one day, Randy Orton hit Nia Jax with an RKO in the Rumble. And we all were like,
and then what? Baron Corbin hit the End of Days on Becky Lynch.
I popped when it happened because nobody.
It's still to this day one of the cleanest End of Days he's ever hit.
It's also the biggest pop Baron Corbin has ever received. Am I wrong? I think what it was is it was such a surprise because for so long there was no intergender matches in WWE, and the rest of the wrestling world thinks intergender wrestling is totally fine. It's the biggest pop Baron Corbin's ever received, except for maybe when he shaved his head without losing a hair versus hair match, which is the biggest heel move he's ever done.
Well, I mean, like, it was in rough shape, man.
But everyone expected, well, he'll do a hair versus hair match and get shaved. And instead, he just was like, no, and shaved his own head. Baron Corbin, as much as you can maybe shit on his character, I think Baron Corbin's a cool dude. I think Baron Corbin would be cool to hang out with. He seems to be barbecuing a lot of stuff. He's a Chiefs fan.
He has like a weird like social media feud with this one guy I follow called Chef Reacts. That sounds hilarious.
That sounds fun. The big ending spot here. There were two tables that were stacked together in the ring. Both men climb up the ladder. What happens, Javier?
Cena grabs Edge, puts him in the FU position, FUs him off of the ladder. Edge crashes through the two tables. Cena fucking shakes his head. Also, Edge kicked the like belt. As he was like doing as the rotation of the FU was happening, he like hit the belt, so that belt's just swinging overhead. Whee! Cena is just shaking his head like, I didn't want to have to do that. And then he grabs the belt, peels it, pulls it off. Cena wins the title back, and he doesn't lose that bitch until he pops his titty like 387 days from now. Or whatever it is.
We are going to take a break to recover from you saying popped a titty. When we get back, we're skipping Rated RKO, we're skipping La Familia, and we're going right to the Dead Man's Yard. Back from the break, at WrestleMania 24 in March, Edge would lose the World Heavyweight Championship that he had gained during his time with La Familia to The Undertaker when he tapped out to Hell's Gate. The match originally was booked for Edge to retain and break the streak. He's one of the couple of people that were considered for breaking the streak before Brock Lesnar. Edge said in an interview, quote, it made zero sense. And then he said he was already a made man, that he was already in the main event of WrestleMania, and that was good enough for him. He's not going to be the one to take Undertaker's streak as well. The match we're going to cover is not that match because we covered it when we covered The Undertaker back in our first ever set of three episodes for One Wrestler. All the way back in episode, I believe, 11. So you can go and listen to that one there. So we're looking at SummerSlam 2008. It's Edge versus Undertaker, Hell in a Cell. But this match is not for the world title.
It's not?
I don't know if it is or not. I'm going to double check it.
I'm pretty sure it is.
But they don't mention the title at any point.
Because it's such a personal feud at this point that like the title is honestly secondary.
No, CM Punk defeated JBL to retain the World Heavyweight title because CM Punk had cashed in.
Right? Oh my God, he cashed in on The Undertaker.
Undertaker.
Wasn't it Taker or was it Edge?
I think it was Taker.
He cashed in. I think both of his cash-ins were on these two guys. If I think I'm correct.
But yeah,
was one of them on Jeff?
Oh, I got to look up cash-ins. Anyways, introduce the people to the matches.
So this match is basically the culmination of a feud that's been going on for like 18 months at this point. It survived an Undertaker injury. It has survived an Edge injury, I think. It's survived multiple different branch offs. It has just been going on for so fucking long that I don't even remember how convoluted it was. But it had to have ended at some point. They had so many matches together, so much history between some guy who is an undead zombie and a dude who's just a fucking asshole.
Punk cashed in on Edge after Edge was attacked by Batista during a promo. This was on Raw, June 30th, 2008. His other cash-in was against Jeff Hardy.
Okay.
Hardy had defeated Edge in a ladder match.
Yeah, okay, that one makes sense. Yeah, and then he retained against Jeff, and then that's when the Taker comes back, takes the title from Punk. There we go. Now we're remembering things correctly.
All of the timeline makes sense now.
This match was too fucking personal to start up with a lockup, and so they just decided we're throwing hands.
Yeah. Undertaker, you know how Undertaker does that like punch drunk thing where he'll just come out and he's like a full boxer? That's how he starts this match. I also assume this is your recommendation based on what you said earlier.
Yeah, it's 100% my recommendation. I don't think this is the best match of the bunch as far as like actual in-ring work, because it's not even the best car crash match of the bunch. I think that's the Foley match.
Okay,
what this is it's the best story. It has the most this is just two guys who fucking hate each other. It's so personal. They're locked in Hell in a Cell, which is like it should be the end all be all of any feud that gets this personal. And they just decided to turn a Hell in a Cell match into a hardcore match and basically just fucking kill each other. And I think that in and of itself is the reason why. It's just, it's a great story, has great storytelling within the match. I think the finish is so fucking poetic. It's beautiful. I don't think this is Edge's best rivalry, and I don't think this is the Undertaker's best rivalry, but
they
do
really good work together.
Yes, I think that these two guys just had a chemistry that can only like be superseded by Edge with Cena and Taker with Shawn. Like, I think those are the only two things that are like supplanting what these two guys had with each other.
This is a really good time to bring this up. Who do you think is on Edge's Mount Rushmore of rivals?
Oh.
So it's John Cena.
Taker.
And then the next two spots are interesting because I think there's like maybe four people who could fit.
Yeah. I would say Randy.
Randy's up there. Is Jeff up there?
Here's the thing is I think this is actually going to be a little surprising, but I think that they did so fucking well against each other I think that these two guys had the best natural chemistry of any of Edge's feuds.
Okay.
I think the last spot goes to Seth Rollins.
Oh. No.
I think it goes to Seth Rollins.
That's an interesting... you know what? I'm happy for you for having such an interesting take.
I think it goes to Seth Rollins. Here's the thing is the thing with the Jeff feud is like, do you remember that feud?
No.
Exactly. But you remember the Seth Rollins feud.
But you know
it
what
was
it
so
is?
Good.
You know what it is I remember, I think the thing that bumps Jeff Hardy, and it's not fair, is the Hardys versus Edge and Christian. Like that history and lore,
because those aren't like
it's not singles feuds. Yeah,
like that's not even like a feud that they had though. It was just like it was more of a showcase for tag team wrestling, and these were two of the tag teams that like wanted to do so. Whereas when they actually feuded, they never even really feuded because Triple H was involved or Vladimir Kozlov was involved. Which is like a part that no one ever really remembers is the fact that Vladimir Kozlov was like thrusted into that feud. Whereas
he was
like,
going to be a star, goddammit.
Him and Seth Rollins had like a legitimate feud. Like that was blood right there. There's a reason that shit ended with one of the best Hell in a Cell matches ever.
I think this is a great hot take for you. I think this is fantastic.
And I think I'm right. It's the crazy thing about it. I really think I'm right about this.
It's that's what makes a hot take hot, is you think you're right.
It's like one of like three people. Like it's Seth, it's Jeff, and then it's like
Matt.
Maybe, but even that, it's like they had like two matches with each other.
Is it Batista? Is it Angle? No,
they didn't have. I just think that the amount of matches that you have with someone should matter. And I think Edge only really has like a handful, like maybe two matches with Batista, max.
Yeah.
Like with Kurt, I feel like there was more tag matches than singles stuff.
Yeah, because like, you think of that SmackDown 6 era.
I don't care about the freaking King of the Ring final. Like it was an okay match, but I think that compared to what
Kurt had a better match Seth, that day. So like,
yeah, like I think compared to what the stuff that he had with Seth, like I really think it's Seth Rollins is the last spot on that Mount Rushmore.
Okay, all right. Again, to try to break down this match beat by beat would be a lot, no, and we've gotten sidetracked a lot this episode, so that's okay.
It's not happening.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
They throw hands.
The thing that I think I like most about Edge in this match is we've seen him go. In this course of this series, we've seen him go from tag wrestler to single star. And when we talked about single stars, like at the beginning, you're like, I don't know if he has it. Like he's good, but he's not like a main event level. But you see him get made by the Foley match. You see the Cena feud obviously do some wonderful things for him. Here, he's going toe to toe with The Undertaker, and he is in no way out of place. He is on the same level as The Undertaker. Because people now think of Undertaker as like, holier than thou, he's like untouchable, and because he was great for so long, but he was an active member of the roster at this point, and he was a main event level guy, and you know what, so was Edge.
The thing with Taker is he's been a main event level guy the whole time
for his whole fucking career.
Really from the jump.
Taker doesn't have a Deacon Batista era or like a fucking Nikki in the Spirit Squad era.
You know what's another thing that I find really interesting about Edge and like his meteoric rise, as you were just like going through that whole spiel there, is like Edge is really one of, and I still think to this day, the last guys that like kind of made themselves into a main eventer. Like a lot of the recent like, you know, long-term mid-card guys who got a main event push was more so, it was more like a thank you kind of thing, like, oh, like we're finally going to recognize you.
Fan or demand.
Kofi demand. Like Kofi Mania. Yeah. Or like when Big E finally got his push into the main event, it was more of like, fuck it, let's see what this guy can do. But like, even once he got there, like, look, I love Big E. You love Big E, clearly.
Yeah.
I do not think that either of us would like hold Big E anywhere near like the levels of like where Roman Reigns is, Cody Rhodes, like Sami Zayn last year.
I think Sami Zayn's a better example than Big E. I think Vince has always seen Big E and gone like, eventually, yes. Because I think that was part
of
the...
I think he's so short is the thing.
But I think that was part of the initial push. I think what you're right though is that Edge is one of the greatest cases of, if we give you a chance, will you capitalize on every single time? Dating back to the No Mercy ladder match against the Hardys, they all capitalized on it. They got more opportunities. They get TLC. He crushes that. He gets King of the Ring. He does a really good job with that. And during the invasion angle, he gets a feud with Christian, does a good job with that. Wins Money in the Bank for the first time, makes it a big fucking deal, right?
Yeah.
Every time he was given an opportunity, he succeeded. Like, he crushed it. And then he got to the point where he's getting weird things thrown at him. Like, we skipped over La Familia, where he's just having sex with Vicky Guerrero, and he made it work.
Pairing that happened because they were the two most hated people.
Yes, and they got to hang out with Zack Ryder all day, which is very fun for them. Edge head for life.
It was Zack Ryder, what the fuck is the other? Kurt Hawkins,
and Chavo.
The Chavo, and then there was the other one. What the fuck was his name? Other Hispanic guy. Fuck was his name? Was it Estrada? No. It was something else. And then, so like, it's really just one of those things where like, I don't know how many people you can say are even...
I think we're thinking of Bam Neely.
Maybe. I don't even know how many people are like at that level. Like, there's only so many. Like, Bret Hart is a good example of it, of a guy who just slowly worked his way up the card until he became so fucking undeniable as a main eventer that he just stuck because he hit it out of the park at every checkpoint. Same thing with Sean. Same thing with a lot of these other guys. Like, it's just one of those things. Yeah, Austin. And, you know, Edge is like absolutely one of those examples as well. You don't really see that as much nowadays.
Or you can see the spot where somebody was given an opportunity and it didn't work. A very recent version of this is Austin Theory. Yeah. Hey, we're giving you the keys, and it did not land. So now he's ended up not where he was, but actually a step back. Because we saw it as the fans, we saw the opportunity given to him, and now he's took a step back. So now he's going to have to work harder to go back up to the level that he was portrayed at when he beat John Cena at WrestleMania.
In a piss-poor match.
In the only bad match on an amazing WrestleMania.
Yeah.
We haven't even talked about this Hell in a Cell match. This is out fucking standing.
Yeah, Edge, he gets his fucking ass kicked early on here. Like, literally, his Taker is just beating his fucking ass.
Yeah, that's my only note for the first 7 minutes.
Yeah, Edge tosses Taker into the stairs, hits a basement dropkick, then hits his spear into the steps. The steps are in the ring, by the way. Taker carried them into the ring. Edge blasts Taker with a chair. Edge does, like, a chair. Like, he sets up a ladder in the ring. Grabs a chair, climbs the ladder, puts Taker onto a table, a fucking TLC spot in a Hell in a Cell match. Jesus Christ. And then right before he jumps off the ladder, he goes, "I understand," and just jumps and puts Taker through the table, which was just like, man, these guys fucking hate each other.
The other thing that happens, because we're not going to talk about every spot, but there's a lot of headshots in this match, and this match is currently on the WWE YouTube channel. I understand that you don't want to showcase headshots. I get it. But similar to when you bleep out the fuck word, I just said the fuck word, which is nothing nobody's ever said before. When you bleep out fuck in a song and you still leave the F part, like it's like the beep, people know that you said fuck. You know what I mean? We know headshots are happening when you freeze the frame for a split second, but
that's what that was.
All of those are so every single time there's a headshot on a WWE YouTube video when they upload it from their own thing, there is a freeze frame to avoid showing the actual moment of impact. Like
I did not know that.
Like that's the thing that will reprieve them from the massive amount of CTE that has potentially happened because of all these headshots.
All those camera shots, I was like, why the fuck does it like cut a little bit?
It freezes every single time that they're about to show the actual impact. Because there's shots with a camera multiple times. There's headshots with the chair. This headshot with the steel steps. Happens a lot in this match. So it's incredibly noticeable.
Taker at one point grabs Edge by the throat. Edge just punches him away because they know each other so well. So he knows exactly what's about to happen. They've been doing this shit for 18 months. They know what the deal is. Taker knocks Edge off of the apron into the cage. Taker then runs some stairs into Edge. Edge gets the advantage back. He sets up the stairs right in the middle. He puts Taker up against the cage. He then goes to the far side of the cage, on the opposite side of the ring. Comes charging through, jumps off the steps, spears Taker. And the cage fucking wall comes down onto the announce table. And I don't know how that announce table didn't collapse.
Honestly, world's strongest announce table, because that comes in handy in a second, because they end up on the announce tables, and Edge spears Taker through the third announce table by running across the first one, spearing him on top of the second one, and through the third one. It's great.
It's a good spot.
The match continues on. There's a lot of finisher reversals, right? There's like an old school attempted by Edge. Taker crotches him. There's a super choke slam through two stacked tables on the outside, which is really cool. Taker hits a spear of his own. That's as we head to the end. There's a big tombstone spot, and Taker wins.
Yeah. We just have to talk about that finish for a second, because he basically just did everything that Edge did to him throughout the last 18 months. He hit a spear, which, you know, obviously the big move.
Edge does that often, yeah.
I want to say that when Edge won the world title off of his second cash in off of Taker, which is really what sparked this feud at the beginning of it, I want to say.
Yeah.
And he hit him with a spear to win the match. So that's one. The camera shot was because I believe he had a match against Batista for the World Heavyweight title back when Batista was champion. And Edge interfered in the match, hit him with the, as because he was the cameraman. Yeah. I think we covered that.
We've seen it.
In either the Batista episode or the redo for Batista. And he hit him with the camera shot. So boom, can't eat your camera shot, Edge. Concerto, that one's pretty self-explanatory. Edge loves a good concerto. He's done it to him quite a bit throughout this feud. Now finally puts him away at the tombstone. It's poetry. It's cinema, as Martin Scorsese would say.
But also, Undertaker's not done. Undertaker's going to leave. Did you watch this part of the clip?
I did not see it in
the... So Taker is going to leave, and he comes back, sets up a ladder, sets up another ladder. They climb the ladders. We get some interspersed Undertaker imagery. So, like, he's on the ladder, and he has Edge in the chokeslam position. And then there's, like, the jump cuts of, like, graveyard and spooky little girls and flames and, like, it's all camera work, right? And then Taker chokeslams Edge through the mat.
Wow.
And then flames appear. And I'm like, oh, Edge is dead.
Yeah.
But Edge is not dead, because we have to cover two quick promos from Edge. One, we insisted on putting in here. It is a 90-second promo from April 10th, 2009. And all I wrote was, I hate John Cena.
Yep.
Edge is feuding with John Cena at the time. They're about to have a last man standing match. And Edge cuts a fantastic promo about how much he just hates John Cena.
I hate you. I hate you. Hate is a strong word, but it sums up everything that I feel for you, Cena. I hate your hat. I hate your t-shirt. I hate your wristbands. I hate your shoes. I hate your music. I hate the C-Nation. I hate everything that you stand for.
Do you know the Vine? That's the guy standing in the middle of the road. And he's like, your shoes, whack. Your clothes, whack.
Whack.
Yeah, that's Edge here. That was his inspiration.
John, whether you admit it or not, this, all the years between you and I, it's exhausted you as much as it has me. This can't go on any longer. It has shortened both of our careers.
Editor's note, both men are still active.
Not even. And that backlash, this is finally going to end. One of us will beat the other so badly that they can't get back up. And make no mistake about it, the one that's going to be left standing, and he gets up from this chair, is me.
This is such a good fucking promo.
It's a great promo.
This is a great promo.
I think it's the second best promo. The only better promo is one that I really wish that we could have put in here, but honestly, I felt kind of weird putting it in here because, spoiler alert for the next bit, it's his retirement promo. Do you remember the promo that he had with Cena technically, but it was just him talking the whole time? In the build-up to the match that Cena had with Brock, the first one, the Extreme Rules one?
Yes.
Edge has short hair. He's like, look at me! Wake up! Like, he's, like, so passionate about it. Like, do it for me! Do it for Shawn Michaels. People like Mick Foley, The Undertaker. Do it for me! Like, basically, like, I can't fucking... Like, Brock Lesnar doesn't give a shit about this.
Yeah.
We do. Wake up. Beat his fucking ass. Like, it was just such an impassioned promo. It's a year after he retired. I was like it was recommended after I watched this one, and I just decided, fuck it. It's 4 minutes. I'll watch it. And it was absolutely worth the 4 minutes. And I would have put it in here, but again, you know, we have to do the retirement promo.
It's true. On December 19th, 2010, Edge would defeat Kane, Rey Mysterio, and Alberto Del Rio in a TLC match at Tables, Legends, and Chairs to win the World Heavyweight Championship for a record sixth time, making him a 10-time world champion. At WrestleMania 27, on April 3rd, Edge successfully defended the World Heavyweight Championship against Del Rio. On April 11th, 2011 Raw, Edge would come out and address the crowd to announce his retirement. And it's not sad anymore, because we obviously know, with the benefit of hindsight, that Adam Copeland would be back. However, at the time, this was devastating.
I think I missed Raw that day, so I didn't watch it. But I remember, like,
celebrating.
He
Because you were dancing in the streets.
No, I didn't know yet. It wasn't until like
you were like giving out hugs to strangers.
It wasn't until a few days after the fact that I had found out. I just remember seeing it randomly, like offhandedly on like Google or some shit, like during class or whatever. And I was like, oh fuck.
Whoops. So Edge brings up
R.I.P. Bozo.
We had mentioned earlier. He's feeling a lot of pain. He's losing feeling in his arm still because he had that neck injury, which was 8 years ago. WWE did more tests. The MRI showed that he has to retire. He says it's not my choice. But he mentioned that he's glad they found out because he doesn't want to end up in a wheelchair, which is true. We always want wrestlers to do the thing that is best for their body.
Yeah.
This goes for, obviously, with advancements in modern medicine, apparently we have had lots of people come back. Daniel Bryan, Saraya, Edge. Lots of things. And Sting. People who have come back. Sting. And it's their decision. And anybody who says that they want a wrestler to come back out of retirement, if they aren't able to come out of retirement, need to realize it's not about them or the entertainment. Like, I'm sure these people would like to entertain you. That's what they've done for a living. But if it means if they entertain you, they end up in a wheelchair or unable to control their faculties or unable to remember who they are, it's not worth it.
It's never worth
it. It's not worth it. And we're thrilled that Edge got to come back. It's,
yes.
I still think, I said this last week, the biggest surprise return from retirement in the history of wrestling, I think.
Yeah.
It surprised me the most. But here, he didn't think it was an opportunity. Also,
it's honestly heartbreaking listening to this. Like, this is a guy who was caught off guard. Like, he was not expecting this.
He was not ready to retire.
Yeah, he clearly wasn't ready. He had no preparation whatsoever with this promo. You could definitely tell before the, like, thank you, Edge chant start, and he's like, you know, he starts tearing up here. Like, he's kind of, like, joking about it a little bit. Like, you know, it's like they basically said, like, you know, I didn't want to end up in a wheelchair or, like, yeah. Shit like this. Like, it's kind of like... It's almost like he's trying to convince himself a little bit, like, throughout this promo, that like, yeah, this is the right thing, like, you know, all this stuff. But it's very clearly, like, more than anything, what comes across is he does not want to do this. Like, so, this was not his choice. This is the thing that he loves doing, and he does not want to stop.
Right when he starts to get, like, he just announced he's actually going to retire, and he's getting cheers from the crowd, and he starts crying... WWE on YouTube has a fucking ad break, and it's immediately an ad.
Oh, I didn't have an ad break.
For, like, Christmas trees. And I was like, this is breaking my concentration. This clip is 8 minutes long. How many ads do you think I got during my time watching on YouTube?
I mean, I got zero, but did you have, like, three?
Four. It's one every 2 minutes.
Christ. You've got to talk to your YouTube people then, because I literally had zero. This just went from beginning to end. I had one at the beginning, like when, before the video started.
Edge talks about how Christian was great to talk to because they've been best friends 27 years, how Edge doesn't want to let the company down, doesn't want to let the fans down, but do things on his own terms, like retire. And Christian says, you've done your whole career on your own terms. Edge brings up being a fan of WWE, going to Maple Leaf Gardens. Interesting trio of people he mentions. He mentions watching... two tag teams and then Hulk Hogan, which again, everyone in the 80s was a fan of Hulk Hogan. We can't hold that against him. But he mentions Legion of Doom and Demolition, which I find very, very interesting because it's like my favorite foods are Taco Bell and Del Taco. Like, hey, you already picked a Mexican place. Why don't you not? It's like, that's not, why'd you pick the second version of the first thing? You didn't need that one.
Yeah. Fast forward many, like he said he was there, he saw Hogan versus Warrior, decided he was going to do, he was going to be doing that someday. Fast forward many years later, he's made to preventing WrestleMania against The Undertaker. Says there's no way he would have believed that he'd win more championships than anyone in the history of WWE.
Yeah.
Which is true. That's true. And I think might still be true.
If you do not count the 24/7 championship.
Who the fuck would it be then?
R-Truth.
How many times did he win that bitch?
Like all of them.
Okay, that makes sense.
He won all of them.
Well, obviously I'm not counting that title. That's a joke title.
It's literally a USA one. It's like, well, we want a title too.
Well, it's just, it's true. But like, yeah, I think it's, I think still to this day, yeah, the most titles anyone's ever had. And he did not win one in his return, which is crazy. Like, that has just been the case for the last like 15 years, pretty much.
Yeah.
He's been number one. Wild. Who do you think, is anyone near him? Like, what's the list? Surely it's like Kofi.
Talk about the rest of the promo. We'll look at that.
Yeah, he says that he wouldn't believe that his last match would have been defending the World Heavyweight title at WrestleMania in one of the main events and retiring with the belt. Says first match was May 10th, 1996 at Hamilton Cops Coliseum when he was 23 years old. 23 years old. Jesus Christ. You know what's funny? He was 23 years old at that time. MJF was 23 years old when he started in AEW, I think.
Oh my God.
Wild to think about. That's just when he started. He says he feels like he's grown up in front of fans, made mistakes, learned from them, grown up, become an adult, all this other stuff.
It is still Edge, because you don't count the 24/7 title.
Yeah.
31. 12 tag titles, 7 world heavyweight titles, 5 IC titles, 4 WWE titles, 2 WWE tag team championships, and 1-time US champion.
Jesus Christ. Who's next?
John Cena and somebody else. I just closed it.
Oh, well, see, yeah, that makes sense. He has been a 16-time world champion. He's been a tag champion multiple times. He held the US title twice.
They're calling it major titles. So, like, things like no hardcore title, no... None of that. So it's John Cena and Jericho.
Yeah, 10-time IC champion, 6-time world champion.
9-time IC title, 5-time world tag champion, 3-time world heavyweight, 2-time WWE tag, 2-time like WCW world champion, an undisputed championship, a European championship. He won a lot of things.
Shout out to my guy. He says that he went from the silent guy in a trench coat running around New York City to a vampire in the Brood to one of the funny, goofy guys along with Christian posing for the benefit of those with flash photography to becoming one of the most despised guys in the history of WWE. He even got thrown into the Long Island Sound.
He was one of the most despised people.
It's true. Had a live sex celebration, thankfully with Lita, not Vicky Guerrero.
That popped me. I thought that was funny.
And he would hope that through it all, he's earned the respect of everyone in the locker room and everyone watching. I may hate the guy, but yeah, he did.
Yeah, he clearly did. Like, what a career for Edge. Like,
says he's gonna miss it all. Says he doesn't have to wear tights anymore. And then this is the part that I know popped you. Says he's going to eat a whole lot of ice cream tonight.
It's a good man. Gives JR a quick shout out for hiring him. Kind of nods him at commentary. Asks if he'd do it all again. All the different things. All the pain. All the sleepless nights. All the travel. In a heartbeat. And then he leaves the ring. And we thought for the last time. But this is part 2 of 3 parts. We're going to be back next week. We have all of his return to cover.
Yes, sir.
Our recommendations this week, I think it's the tag match at No Mercy 2002. Javier thinks you should go check out the Undertaker Hell in a Cell match because it is poetry. Any of these matches are honestly worth a rewatch. And if you really want to figure out how to convey to somebody at work that you don't like them, go listen to the John Cena hate promo and just verbatim. Just even say that you hate the C Nation and really confuse the fuck out of them. Just be like, I hate your shirt. I hate your little pocket square. I hate the way you input forms for HR. I hate the C Nation. Like, really throw them off their game.
Yeah, it's great. It's a fun promo. It just conveys every sentiment that he had towards this one individual who made his life hell for many years, who was unfortunately the Roman Reigns to his Seth Rollins. He was the top guy.
The Hulk Hogan was Randy
Savage. Who blocked him from being the top guy.
Yeah. I always liked the second guy better. Savage, yeah, Rollins, well, fuck Edge.
So
next week we cover Edge Part 3. Stay tuned and we'll tell you who we're going to be covering after we're done our series on Edge. You can follow us on social media at Crossbody of Work on the Twitter and the Instagram. You can follow Javier wherever he tells you right now.
I just stood and make the sign. On the Twitter machine at JMello Sports. Sauce the boy follow, just like this. Just you got the sauce brewing, and then you give it to me.
Jesus Christ. No need to provide me with any sauce. I have some sauce at home, but you can find me on the Twitter machine at it's Evan Gomes, ITSEVANGOMES, FullPressWrestling.com in order to see all the links for this week's matches as well as every episode we have Full Press Wrestling there, FullPressShop.com, cop the merch, support the boys. Let us know what kind of merch you'd like to see as we're going to get some refresh in the merch department heading into WrestleMania season. Obviously, there's no spoilers for next week because it's Edge again. Javier, it's time for everyone's favorite part of the episode. Any final words for the people?
This week on Life Advice with Javier, I was international boy.
You were Mr. Worldwide.
Yes, I touched down in London Town, and it was fun. It was a great time. And honestly, what I would recommend to people is to go travel, especially if you like food. Honestly, go to fucking London. Just go visit these places. Like one thing that I really want to get across is like I growing up didn't really care much for like the prospects of traveling because it's never really was like a dream of mine to see anything. Even still to this day, like a lot of my stuff is more so related to a certain thing. And I really had one travel slash dream type of visitation dream more than any, which was to go see my favorite soccer team, Manchester City, play a game at their home stadium. And motherfuckers, I did it. I went to Manchester last Saturday. They smashed Bournemouth 6-1.
Oh, I didn't know who they were playing. I didn't know they were playing Bournemouth.
Yeah,
that's great. Hey, I want to go see John Cena wrestle, and so I'm gonna make sure that he's wrestling like.
Our truth.
My first thought was Chuck Palumbo.
That works too.
Get the dumb.
No, it was great. And, you know, I fucking teared up a little bit. I got really overcome with emotion. And afterwards, it was like, holy shit, I fucking did it. So my thing that I really would recommend to everyone out there, like if there is a thing that you want to do, and I know sometimes it gets a little difficult when you're in the flux of working and all this other stuff, really establishing yourself, in your career, or maybe you're in the midst of post-establishment, you just want to keep the routine going because you feel like you're in a good flow. I think that a little break, even if it's something like I did, where it's like a Thursday to Tuesday flying overseas and stuff like that, like just go, if your thing is to see the Colosseum in Rome, and fucking do the whole fucking thing from Gladiator. Like, are you not entertained? Just go do that. If there's one thing that you want to do more than anything, whether it's see your favorite soccer team or eat at fucking one of Gordon Ramsay's restaurants or eat pasta next near the Trevi Fountain or whatever the fuck it may be, just go do it. Because it's going to be one of the best experiences of your life. It really is. True. It's going to be amazing. And you're going to be overcome with just a feeling that I would never be able to describe. And I wish nothing but the best for all of you in those endeavors. And I hope you guys are able to do them because that was a really, really cool feeling.
Damn. Go travel the world, according to Javier.
Do that fucking thing that you want to do. Just go do
that
it.
Thing. That thing.
If you got a dream, just thing. Go fucking do it. It's worth it, I promise.
That thing you do, in the words of The Wonders. It's a great movie.
That thing.
A very different That Thing that we don't have the rights for. All right, we're back next week. We'll be finishing off the career of Edge and telling you who we're covering the week after. Thanks for joining us on what is our longest episode in a while. We'll be back soon. We'll talk to you then.
You think you know me.